Hey, how's it going, everybody? Before we get to my guest this week, I just want to remind you, my one-man show, Paul Mercurio's Permission to Speak, is up and running, going through the end of the year. We added dates. It's called Paul Mercurio's Permission to Speak, and it's at the Actors Temple Theater right here in New York City near Times Square, 47th Street. So go to telecharge.com, check out dates, get some tickets. Use the code PMFAN. That's PMFAN. You get 50% off. Really cool show. We talk to audience members. They've been coming on stage, talking from their seats, really interesting, funny, sometimes bizarre stories that you go, only in real life would we be hearing this. So come check it out. Be part of it. Tell your story. Just watch. But it's a really cool show. Bring your friends. Bring your family. If you don't have friends, I don't know, bring your dog. We'll take pets. My sponsor, deepdiscount.com. Sit tight. They help me. Please think about supporting them. Great site. You go to my website, paulmercurio.com. And you click on the Deep Discount logo, it'll take you to their site. They have amazing deals on everything from TV shows to movies to apparel and at a deep, deep discount. That's the name. You see how they came up with the name? And all this month, you can save on tons of Halloween movies. Oh, it's Halloween. That's right. Coming up. I love Halloween. That's the night where I sit in my house and don't answer the door. I'm not a fan of people anymore. So you're not getting anything. Sorry. Anyway, Deep Discount's got a lot of cool Halloween movies. Classics like Night of the Living Dead. I love this movie. I saw it first when I was like 12 years old. And I love the tagline. They just won't stay dead, which is classic. It's Where the Dead Rise and Feed on Human Flesh. You know, every Tuesday. You'll find Tales from the Dark Side, the TV show that revealed the sinister shadows that dwell beneath the normalcy of our world. Politicians. Get the complete series, 4 seasons, 90 episodes for a great price at deepdiscount.com. The name says it all, deepdiscount.com. Go to my website, paulmercurio.com. Click on the logo and it'll take you there. This week, we got a new release, The Americans. This is one of my favorite series of all times. The complete final series, the suspenseful Cold War story about undercover KGB spies living undercover in the U.S. for 2 decades. Get your copy now for a great price at deepdiscount.com. Go to my website, paulmercurio.com. Click on the logo. It'll take you there. There's some really great stuff. And have a mediocre Halloween. Hey, by the way, football season's here. And you know what that means. My Patriots are now 5-2, and Odell Beckham is having a meltdown. What's better than that? Sorry, Giants fans. You winning much? If not, here's a way to double your money. It's guaranteed. It's from our friends at BetDSI. To help you get started with some extra bang for your buck, BetDSI is offering to double your money on your first deposit. Just use the promo code PAUL100. PAUL100. That's right. Deposit to start winning. You get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go when you use the promo code PAUL100. Look, when it comes to football, anything, BetDSI has a line on it, okay? It's NFL, NCAA, how many times I can hit somebody in the head with an egg with my eyes closed. If it's happening, BetDSI will put a line on it. They've been around for 20 years. They have a great reputation. Play, win, and get paid anytime, anywhere. You know, you're ready to win. Join BetDSI using the promo code PAUL100, and you've already won by doubling your bankroll. That's promo code PAUL100. Check it out on BetDSI. All right, my guest this week, Mika Brzezinski, co-host of Morning Joe. I've been wanting to talk to her for a long time. I love how opinionated she is, and she's got some really interesting insight as a woman into the Me Too movement, the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, women knowing their value. She doesn't pull punches, and that's what I really like about her. I think you're going to really like this conversation. Enjoy it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. My guest this week, someone I'm a big, big fan of, and I watch religiously every morning. As she's a co-host of MSNBC's Morning Joe, and a best-selling author who's just re-released her best-selling book, Know Your Value. It's a revised and expanded edition, and also has a Know Your Value national event series, which continues in San Francisco on December 1st. It's Mika Brzezinski. Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I really relate to a couple of things. You actually interviewed Susie Essman, who's a friend of mine, a fellow comedian for The Revision, and I think she's great. And she's been a big part of the comedy scene for a long time, especially in New York City.
And I love Susie.
Yeah.
I think she's one of the inspirations for me, just because when you watch her giving advice, she's so practical, she's so blunt, and there's no time for anything more than that.
Yeah, I know. I know. That that character on that character she does on Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm is not very far from the truth of Susie. Yeah. And I'm Italian. I come from a big Italian family, so we yell a lot like that. It's a very relatable. Yeah. In fact, you know, your book about knowing your value and how outspoken you are, I've always really respected that. My mother is 90, and in the 60s, she started, high school educated, started her own furniture business. And her brothers would tell her that she shouldn't be doing that, that she should stay home and be cooking and taking care of the house. And so I really relate to what you're trying to do and been trying to do with this movement.
Yeah, I can't believe they would say that, but I know people like that and they mean well, but I think it's, in this day and age, women need to be able to multitask, and that's exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I'm adding to the equation is that they should get the full value back for every job they do and every relationship they have. I don't think that they advocate for themselves well enough, mm-hmm. and I think they leave, and I put this in quotes, money on the table in every relationship that they have as a result. And a lot of it is because of the attitude that you were just talking about, where women don't feel like they should be where they are. Mm-hmm. And you should, and it's okay.
Yeah, there's so much that you hit on in this book. And one of the things that struck me in reading it is the difference, you say the difference between mentors and sponsors you talk about and why each is invaluable to your career. And I was wondering why you felt that way.
Well, I really believe that, you know, the word mentor is it can be used a lot of different ways. I have found in my life of the women who I've had the most impact for, women that I have literally sponsored, and I mean stepping up table and negotiating for them, mm-hmm. you know, dressing them if I have to, chopping their hair off if I have to, women in television, but, you know, really getting behind and showing them by putting value in them, mm-hmm. Myself, mm-hmm. my money where my mouth is, mm-hmm. sponsoring them. And there are a couple of women at NBC that I've done that for, there's a couple of people in my life that I've done that for, and I've then given them the Know Your Value message and had them pay it forward. I truly believe that sometimes women need to be shown what their value is.
Right. So in other words, just sitting down and sort of talking somebody through it isn't really going to be as effective as in your experience is sort of your point in that.
Yeah. You're so good. I'm going to go in and talk to management for you. And I'm going to say this, and then you're going to go in and back me.
Right.
So good. Why don't you, you know, try this, and let me go in and work with you upstairs on your voice, mm-hmm. For 3 hours, and let's hone that. Let's get those skills in gear. You're so good. I think that, you know, quite frankly, why don't you fire your agent, and I'll do it for you.
Yeah.
Like putting your money where your mouth is and bringing value to them. Then all of a sudden, they start listening. And it's amazing. They start doing it. And then all of a sudden, they're badasses.
Yeah. And one of the other things you talk about is sort of the manners and tactical maneuvers, you know, in bargaining for yourself as a woman. And is there, in mentoring or sort of guiding or sponsoring some of these people, is there a common denominator or a common sort of issue that you see in women that you have to try to help them, or they have to help themselves get over the hump on? I'm sure there are several things, obviously, but is there one that sort of stands out that's a common?
Yeah, there's tons, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
There's like 8 problems happening at once. Mm-hmm. And then apologize their way into every conversation. Mm-hmm. And they go in backwards. They basically go in not getting what they want to get when you apologize to start a conversation.
Right.
They self-deprecate, which has you depreciating in real time because it's self-deprecating. They don't know how to talk about themselves in a positive way. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to brag about themselves. Mm-hmm. They feel that they don't have permission to do that. They feel incredibly uncomfortable talking about money to themselves, mm-hmm. and their value. Mm-hmm. For some reason, that feels unbecoming. So they've got that fear going on. And then at the same time, for some reason, women have this ingrained sense of responsibility that everybody has to like them. and that if they don't, they have failed. And they will literally walk away from money in exchange for being liked.
Unbelievable.
And so all these things at once make for a very unsuccessful run.
Yeah.
And the thing that I found in talking to women is that they bring all these negative attributes to the table, and there are many more. I could go on for 20 minutes about all the negative things that they bring to the table, all the clutter in their brains that gets in the way of the big goal, and the respect that they need to have from the get-go in a relationship to get anything back. But the problem is all these things are going on at the same time, and I noticed that it doesn't just happen at the negotiating table. It happens in their entire life, in their relationships with their boyfriends, in their relationships with their friends, sometimes in their relationships with their kids. They're just completely at a loss as to how to get value back. And honestly, you know, your value message started to be about money. It has ended up being a holistic approach to life, to your health, to your bank account, your relationships.
Well, I think you're right on about that in terms of just it's pervasive through life and not just the workplace. I mean, my wife is a very sweet woman. I tend to be more confrontational by nature, maybe because I'm Italian and all of that. But I feel like if something isn't right, you've got to say something. And my wife tends to try to take a more, you know, sort of a less confrontational approach to things. And we had this situation. My son had this really bad strep throat. We've been going to this pediatrician for like 14 years. She calls up. The nurse is like, well, I don't know if we can get him in today, blah, blah, blah. We try another day. Say 3 days go by, my kid's suffering, missing school. And I was like, okay, okay. And then I got on the phone. I said, I want to talk to the doctor. I got on the phone. I said, we've been coming to you for 14 years. This is ridiculous. Why is my wife, pardon my French, being jerked around? We want a time to come in today. He goes, hold on. He goes, can you come in a half hour? Now, I was sad and happy at the same time. Happy that I got my son in, sad that it had to come to that. And I do think that in part it was because I'm a man and for some reason, and it shouldn't have been the case, I was given more deference than my wife. And I thought that was really inappropriate, you know?
Well, I think if your wife had said what you said, gotten the appointment too.
Right. The other problem though too is, and I think this is very unfair to women, like you talked about all of those things that women should not be. They should not be self-deprecating. They should bargain hard for themselves. But the problem is, or like with Kavanaugh did, if a woman did that, she'd be called crazy or a bitch. You know what I mean? And that's this other
stuff. I think Kavanaugh's crazy and a jerk.
Right.
I have no idea.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But
right.
I was very turned off by his opening statements at those hearings.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think he's fit to be on the Supreme Court. I think he proved that his temperament is unacceptable.
Yeah. Do you feel like the way that played out sort of set back any advances that have been made in this last year, especially with the Me Too movement and the work that you've been doing for several years on sort of knowing your value?
Well, it's why I've got the website.
Yeah.
27knowyourvalue.com.
Yeah.
And the book coming out and the stuff we're doing because of all this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all played out terribly, and it was brought to you by the Democrats, the Republicans, and the media.
Yeah.
It was all back to play. And from day one, I said, this is what Trump wants. Stop giving him what he wants. Media, stop giving him what he wants. Democrats, stop giving him what he wants. Women, stop giving him what he wants. Republicans, they won't.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, he won. He got everything he wanted. He got division. He got hatred. He got everybody in their corner. And he had a situation where people were taking sides in something that was not being proven in a court of law and was not given due process. My God, it couldn't be better for him.
Yeah.
To serve up the division that he likes to serve up to the American people. We handed him the silver platter.
Yeah, and all.
So I think it was a mess, and I take responsibility. We all should.
You take responsibility as part of the media for what could you have done differently, do you think, as part of the media?
I honestly did my best.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, I was really let down by members of the media.
Yeah.
I thought that they were partisan. I thought they were, they took sides in the story. They felt that this was part of something bigger, and it wasn't about trying to get the facts and trying to cover the story and raise the question. It was about something personal. There were members of the media telling their own personal stories of sexual assault and standing with Dr. Ford.
Mm.
I have no idea how things got that mixed up that quickly, because that was not right.
Do you think that drove the divisiveness between the two sides by having members of the quote-unquote liberal media sort of becoming partisan on this issue?
Well, it's not supposed to be the liberal media.
Right.
It wouldn't seem liberal to me.
Yeah.
During this.
Yeah.
I saw too many anchors and hosts on 24/7 cable except Fox, who did the opposite.
Mm.
But I saw too many people having their guests convince Kavanaugh and not following up his questions.
Right.
And it just was so disappointing.
Right. And you know, as a woman, you can say that, but I'll tell you, as a man right now, I feel like if I said that, there are a fair number of people, and I'm a big supporter of the Me Too movement, and I think that all of these people that have been getting called to the carpet on sexual harassment and all of this and sexual assault should be. But there are men out there that feel like if a man were to say what you just said about due process for Kavanaugh, that there's this reflexive reaction from certain women. I don't want to, that like, oh, well, then you're obviously pro sexual assault, aren't you? You're like, and you can't. So there's no nuance of thought in our society anymore. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. It's either you're with me 100%. And if you're not with me, if it's only 99%, then you're not with me at all. And I don't know where we go from here.
I totally agree with you. And honestly, that's why this whole episode was bad for women and men, Democrats and Republicans. The only person it was good for was Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. He won.
But here's the thing that's sad. I follow this closely. I go on shows like yours and others as a commentator. I used to work on The Daily Show. I was a writer on that show for years. And so, you know, political satire is part of my thing. You're the only woman that I've heard say that so far in this, especially after Kavanaugh. You're the only, which is what I love about you and what you do on Morning Joe, is like, I feel like I can, you speak to me in a real honest way and there's no BS. And most of the time I agree with you. Maybe I don't sometimes, but still I feel like I'm getting a straight opinion and not somebody with some agenda. And I think that's part of the problem too, is like, I don't think everybody should feel the way you do, but I think some people should. And I don't really ever hear that voiced from anybody the way you just voiced it.
I don't understand what has happened here. It's as if members of the media have lost their minds.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's as if they have lost their minds.
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, when the subprime mortgage bubble happened and burst, we at The Daily Show took the financial media to task as not being sufficient watchdogs, you know, for the American public, which is, you know, because, you know, their CEOs are like George Clooney to The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, right? So they're sexy guests and they don't want to challenge these people, right? And so then we went after Rick Santilli because he was going after these poor mortgage holders who, like, you know, just trying to get along. And then Jim Cramer, and we got into this thing with Jim Cramer, who like insulted us because he told us we didn't know anything because we were just comedians. And we brought Jim Cramer on, and Jim didn't really seem to get it. And because Jim thought the whole thing was like a joke and we were just joking. And John finally said, "This isn't funny to us. You guys have to bear some responsibility for this." And Jim, who's not a dumb guy, he's a Harvard educated guy, would look at this John like, "Well, what do you mean? Like, what?" It's like, there was no accountability in that part of that conversation, which was really troubling, you know?
Well, I can't comment on that because I wasn't.
Yeah.
But I will say, I watched 24/7 all network.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the coverage of this, not just because it's my job, but because I was deeply interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many reasons.
Yeah.
And fascinated by it in terms of how women develop their voices, own them, and use them responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the most irresponsible mob rule way of doing things, and it is a big problem.
Yeah.
It is a big, big problem, because there are real cases of sexual assault and sexual harassment and gender imbalance, gender equity in pay, all sorts of issues that we're trying to address. We cannot win dirty. We cannot win by playing unfairly.
Mm.
We win by developing our voices and being good, honest members of the working community.
Yes.
And I didn't see that happen here.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this being about everything else but Brett Kavanaugh and everything else but Dr. Bruce. Everyone made it about themselves.
Mm.
And we fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. Trump won.
Yeah.
I say this, my friends in the media. Trump won.
Mm-hmm.
Won at this game.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a part of it, you know? You've got to, if you're a journalist, cover the story, address the question. If you're an opinion person, have deep opinions that are backed up by facts. Don't tell me your feelings, and don't match your personal experiences with the people that are out there putting themselves out there telling their stories, because by doing so, you're convicting someone. So unless you mean do that, you really can't make it about you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I say this because I just think there's been a dishonesty in this whole process. Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, I feel terrible for her.
Mm-hmm.
The entire United States of America should apologize to her.
Mm.
This has been a disservice to women and men, and it has set women and men back.
Mm. Wow. I mean, it is, to go back to your book for a second, is there something out? Can you just, you're so steeped in this, what happened or has happened in our country, and again, for me personally, it goes back to the 60s and my mother, that explains this gender bias, this wage disparity, this prevalence of sexual harassment toward women. Like, is there, have you stepped back and sort of with a 30,000 foot view of it and said, personally been able to, in your mind, sort of say, is it just old staid views of women? Like what is it that sort of has been going on and is going on in our society that has gotten us to this point, you think?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of different things, as you know, history will show. We've come a long way, baby.
Yeah.
We've been fighting for our rights for decades.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I address the part of the equation that we can control. And that's our part in this, what we do to advocate for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And how we do that effectively, and how we do that every single day of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a big part of the equation. It's not the whole equation. Yes, I think some companies need to have policies. I love the fact that some companies have opened up the books and gone equal pay all the way.
Mm.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about the part of the equation we can control. And I do think women get extremely angry and they burst forward with their voice. But the everyday battle, they are not fighting because they don't know how. And I want to give them the tools. I love that women are running. I love that women are going to get out there and vote. I think they will in record numbers. That's what I believe. I hope it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing.
Mm.
What about for yourself? I ask women to ask themselves each and every day, how have I advocated for myself? How have I bragged about my skills and my talents and the value that I bring to the table? How have I made sure I didn't apologize my way into the room?
Mm.
How have I made sure that I've gotten value back in by way of respect in every conversation that I've had all day? How have I taken a risk? Have I practiced speaking in public? Did I step up at a meeting and try and bring words to what I was trying, the point I was trying to make? Did I make a toast at a party? Did I speak at church? These are all great tools to practice using your voice. You can't just wait until the very moment you need to use it. This is a daily exercise.
This is what you mean by everyday battle. Like, this has to be, this is a muscle you have to flex every single day.
For yourself.
Yeah.
For yourself.
Yeah.
And, I mean, start there.
Oh, and also the you know, for your children and your children's children, you're setting an example that, you know, this is going to have a big ripple effect if you do what you're saying, you know?
Yeah, it's for your family.
Mm.
I mean, if you really think about it, you probably advocate really well for your kids or your husband or your boss.
Yeah.
But what about you?
Mm-hmm. Now, in the book, I think you touch on how hardball bargaining doesn't necessarily work for women. And why is that? I was a little surprised that you had that view. Is it come from personal experience? Or?
You can't go from 0 to 100 miles an hour.
Right.
So it does work. I mean, I actually have yelled at some people.
Yeah,
it's really good to be tough.
Yeah.
Really tough. You can here.
Yes.
Talking to me, you know you're talking to a really tough person.
Yes.
Not a lot you could say to me.
Yeah.
I would feel like a loss of words to come right back at.
Yeah. I would love you to meet my mother. I think you'd get a kick out of her, boy. But you get, yeah. No, I.
Yeah. There's a lot of women who are like this.
Yeah.
Who can hold their own. And you know what? I think that we would have a wonderful time at dinner, too. Mm. You know, you don't lose the friendship just because you come off as tough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tough. And I'm a person that demands respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect it. And then we go from there in the relationship. And I want women to learn to do that. But if you're starting at square one and you're apologizing your way into the conversation and you don't really know how to put yourself out there and you've never negotiated for yourself, you don't want to go from zero to 60.
Right, right.
So you've got to find, you've got to literally find your voice.
Right.
I mean, the voice, the way your voice sounds when you're talking, the way your posture is when you're standing there, and what you say, and that takes practice.
Yes.
Every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to wrap up real quick, what, and you touch on this in the book, but for folks who haven't read it yet, what was there a turning point in particular in your personal experience where you said, you know what, that's the old Mika, this is the new Mika, I'm not taking this crap from anybody anymore? Like, or was this a sort of an slowly evolving process for you to get to this point in mindset?
No, there was a moment. It was, I think, the sort of the fourth attempt to get a raise and to get equality with my co-host, Morning Joe.
Uh-huh.
And I just went in there and I was like, you know what? I'm ready to quit. I've been fired before. I've been unemployed before. I got by. I'll figure it out again. But I'm not going home to my girl, and I'm not doing this show again in this, under these circumstances. And I went into Phil Griffin and I said, you need to fix this now. Because if you don't fix this before I walk out of the room, this job and you are a bad boyfriend. And he was like, what? I said, do you know what a bad boyfriend is? I defined it.
That's great.
I'm not here anymore. But you have to marry me or this relationship is over, like tomorrow.
Yeah.
No morning.
Yeah.
And you, in good luck. Good luck with Joe and Willie. I laid it on the line.
Yeah.
It was awkward, but it was very me.
Yeah.
And I had found my voice in that moment.
But that's a lot. That's being brave. That must have been really hard to do, because I mean, I have relationships with like certain comedy clubs where I want to go in and say that, and I'm so far haven't had the guts to go in because I, you know, fear dictates sometimes what you do, and that's the worst thing you can do. You know, you become a slave to it. But that's tremendous. I could talk to you all day. I'd love to have you on again sometime. But everyone should go pick up this book, Know Your Value, and your website again, and tell folks about the December 1st in San Francisco as well.
Yeah, knowyourvalue.com, 24/7 experience. You can find the book there too. December 1st, San Francisco. We're going to be at the Palace Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Vargas, Caddy Kay, Janine Shriver, Tia Sims. We have amazing women who are going to work with you on stage.
Wow.
And really get kind of shake some of this stuff out. And I just look forward to carrying on the message.
Great, great. So this thing in San Francisco, these are practical lectures, not just sort of, you give them tools, hopefully, so they can take with them when they leave. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We have the Grow Your Value bonus competition, and all day long, you get to know our three finalists. Women in California can go onto our website and enter,
mm-hmm.
and we show them through their process of developing their ability to communicate effectively. And people get to know them throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are they being taught tangible skills from the stage and also being inspired by some women who are coming to speak, but they watch these women and hear their stories and learn about their process and then root for them at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And they pitch for a minute on stage, and one of them is going to win $25,000 because time is money, baby.
There you go. That is great. Oh, my God. Tremendous. Well, it's so great to have you. Good luck with the book and continued success and all the great work that you do on Morning Joe.
All right. That was Mika Brzezinski. She says it the way she sees it. I like that about her. And my one-man show, Paul McCurry's Permission to Speak. Come check it out if you're living in the New York area, you're visiting. Put it on your list. Go to telecharge.com. Use the promo code PMFAN. That's PMFAN. You get 50% off. It's a really fun show, and it's been going well, but we need your support, as always. Thanks for checking out the podcast and be big supporters of this show. Couldn't do it without you guys, and we'll see you next week.